You're listening to the Ask Patricia Show podcast.
Yes, good afternoon. Welcome to another Ask Patricia Show. I'm so excited, and apparently you are too. You are loving my topic. Today I'm asking, what is beauty? Because after all, when you see somebody in the street and you think, oh my God, she's absolutely stunning, she's gorgeous, what is it about her that's causing you to make such a statement? And I mean, what exactly is beauty? Is it a gift that you're born with? Or is it something that you can work hard to achieve? I'm asking that question, and quite a few of you have joined in. Yeah, and I've loved the fact that you've joined the conversation via Facebook and via Twitter. Amazing. I've got some great emails. Yeah, and I'm going to read one out in its entirety because it's so good. My wonderful partner, my dancing partner, the lovely Danielle Drum, is not with me today, but she has helped me to produce the show. So she's in the mix in there somewhere. But I've got some great people joining me on the show. I have got filmmaker Toyin Akbedu, and I do hope he will forgive me if I mispronounce his name, but he's a London filmmaker, and he's got a documentary entitled What is Beauty? What is beauty? Good question. And I've got him on the show, and he's talking to me, as well as Toyin. I've also got the very first ever Black Miss Black Britain, Rachel Williams, joining me to discuss colorism, because as you can imagine, she would have experienced that throughout her career as a model. But it's the Ask Patricia Show, and we are about to have a great conversation.
Thank you.
Ciara there with her song Click Flash. All right, well, before I get into the calls, I really want to be fair and read out some of your comments here on Facebook. They've all been amazing. So let me start right here. Well, one of the questions I did ask is, can a woman be beautiful at any age? Because for some reason, you know, they're always trying to sell us these skin creams that are meant to be anti-aging, because obviously we don't want to look old, because old is not the currency. So can a woman be beautiful at any age? And these are some of your answers. And the lovely Andrew Olga says it's a yes from me. And Anita Powell, if her personality and attitude matches. Ebele says age has little to do with beauty. Lisa Lee says absolutely, beauty comes in all ages. It doesn't matter whether you're 5 or 50. Anita also says beauty comes from within, regardless of age. Bev Smith says, most definitely, I have watched many of my friends and family become more beautiful as they age. That's nice to hear, isn't it? Self-confidence, grace, and self-love adds beauty that only a maturing person has. My mum was at her most beautiful lying in bed prior to departing this world at age 82. Wow, how special is that? Nicola Alexander says, real authentic beauty is something that is never lost, regardless of age. It starts in the core of your being and transcends outwardly, in my opinion. Great answers so far. I also responded to Nicola and I said, I love the expression authentic beauty, because it implies that it has little to do with makeup and any artistry. Although, of course, that does have its place. So we're not against makeup. Leo Benjamin says, absolutely, definitely, and without question, yes. All right. Thank you, Leo. Marcia Dixon says, yes, but it's more than just a physical beauty. The beauty of someone's character shines through. On a physical level, younger women tend to look better than older women. Just a fact. All right, Marcia, you had to go there. So the younger women have the advantage. Well, Nicola comes back and she says, well, I disagree. A mature woman that invests in herself can look just as good as a younger woman, if not better. All right, then. And Queen Essence Ford says, damn straight we can. Yeah, Nicola Alexander has the response on point. All right, Queen Essence. And Victoria Lawrence says, yes, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. A kind-hearted person remains beautiful for life. And I'm rather minded to agree with that. What else we got here? We've got another lady, because I did make a reference to Lupita Nyong'o. Yes, you know, she has been voted most beautiful woman in the world. Wow, how would you feel if you were given that title, such a responsibility, most beautiful person? Wow. Well, she has been voted that, and she's on the cover of People magazine. But you will know that Lupita is of a very darker hue, darker shade than is normally ascribed to be beautiful. So I did wonder, well, has that become acceptable? Has black become beautiful? You know, when you see, you know, the top 50 most beautiful women or the top 100 most beautiful women in the world, we tend to find the obligatory picture of supermodel Naomi Campbell or Hollywood actress Halle Berry. And that's really it. You know, there may be a few exceptions, but generally the perception of beauty tends to be not black and definitely not of the shade of Lupita. So I did ask the question, has black become beautiful in all its shades? Somebody called Rosalind has responded to that question, and she says, I also remember people raving about Alec Wex when she hit the catwalk. Prior to these, elements such as dark-skinned women with short natural hair were not acknowledged as beautiful. And that is true. I mean, I remember people saying, oh my goodness, why have they chosen somebody like her as a supermodel? Look how dark she is and look at her hair. Why did they pick somebody like her? And that was from black people. We weren't happy with Alec representing what we thought was beautiful as a black woman. So what does that say about us? Marcia Dixon here again commends and says, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. However, the media does affect who we see as beautiful. However, I do find it sad that people of colour, whatever their shade, feel more beautiful when that beauty is validated in the media. And as true as I believe that is, I think when you're often shown by imagery that you're not beautiful, when you are suddenly lauded and acknowledged, it does give you a sense of validation, if we're honest. Lakeisha Smith says, beauty to me has nothing to do with the colour of your skin, the size of your body, or the clothes on your back. I think society has manipulated minds to believe that. And she talks about many men, not just women, but many men who go through drastic measures to look like what their brains have been told they need to look like. Well, how true is that? You're absolutely right there. Well, listen, I'm going to go to a quick break now. And on the other side, I'm going to be speaking to, as I mentioned before, filmmaker Toyin Agbetu. So stay right there. They say beauty is only skin deep. They say beauty is only in the eye of the beholder. Because of my brown skin, I felt unpretty from within.
Who were maids, who were criminals, only worthy of wages, minimal, blatant in their programming, messages subliminal. For every black princess, there's a black president. It's only been one for years that we've been residents. Too far right on the spectrum of the color wheel, to get equal rights so our true beauty we can sell. Cause black and ugly have always been synonymous, and not to mention what this does to my confidence. Black girls rock, but really what's more common is we shoved under rocks and made to feel anonymous. Rarely celebrated, why is it a great occasion? With someone on the cover of Vogue's not a Caucasian.
They say beauty is only skin deep, played for the little brown girls on repeat. They say beauty is only skin deep, played for the little brown girls on repeat.
And paper bags pressed against delicate cheekbones. One standard of beauty, inferiority seed sown. The lighter shade, uppity, pretty and privileged. And mass media reinforces the image. Remnants of colonialism, tools the master used to reinforce self-hatred and shape attitudes. Originated same latitude for what I lack in hue, overcompensate and got my black to prove. Assume every advance was simply handed, crawled into my own insecurities to escape the slander. Complexion complex, high yellow red bone, superficial attention from the opposite sex, straddling pre-rejection and white perception, question my legitimacy, ranking oppression, beautiful shades of brown, all equal, I guess it's true, hurt people, hurt people.
Big hips,
broad nose. Let's cast her for the role of the super hoe. A supermodel. Never that. Come on now. You know you too black. It cuts deep when I look in the mirror. Cause my biggest, greatest fear is we're stuck in the era. Full of self-hatred and we're not even aware of all of the effects. Imagine all of the terror.
They say beauty is always skinny. Play it for the little brown girls on repeat. They say beauty is always skinny. Play it for the little brown girls on repeat. They say beauty is always skinny. Play it for the little brown girls on repeat. They say beauty is always skinny. Play it for the little brown girls on repeat.
It doesn't matter what end of the color or spectrum you fall on. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. By God. You're beautiful.
Being dark skinned, I was always told, you know, oh, you're cute to be dark. As a little girl, I thought that that was okay until I started going to school with kids that skin wasn't as dark as mine.
Yes, beauty is indeed only skin deep. But I have to say, I'm delighted to have with me now London filmmaker Toya Agbetu. Toya, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Greetings, Sister Patricia. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you so much. I've just recently become acquainted with your film Beauty Is. I haven't been to a screening, but I have seen the trailers and I've been looking at all the information online. And I think it's clearly a film that I need to see. And congratulations on making the film.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for having me on the programme as well.
Yeah, well, it's a delight. Do tell me, what inspired you to create and direct this documentary?
Well, it started off as an idea from a colleague I was working with. And you know, we were looking for something that would really address the issues that plague our community. And I'm known for hardcore political stuff.
All right.
And sometimes people forget that it's sometimes the things that we deal with every day and that kind of like change the way we feel about ourselves that affect everything else that comes afterwards.
Absolutely.
So the topic of beauty was something that was strong in my household, in my family, amongst my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, as we started talking about it and started, you know, playing around with the idea of doing this, we kind of felt, well, you know what I mean? Yeah, this is something that has to be addressed. I mean,
indeed.
As a father,
yes.
My daughter had some issues at school with
yes.
her being natural and being teased. And,
all right.
I just felt it's time that we address this.
Oh my gosh. Do you know, I'm really quite taken aback that today that your daughter is being teased almost. I mean, sort of 20 years ago, sort of my age group, we were kind of teased and made fun of, but I didn't realise today it was such an issue.
Oh yes, I mean, unfortunately it still is. I mean,
wow.
The media pressure that comes from, you know, the stereotypes of beauty that our young people see, we're talking about in music videos, etc., means that whenever someone decides not to conform to that image, especially if they're a girl,
right,
it means that they become outside the cliques,
mm-hmm.
you know, the
mm-hmm.
trendy in cliques.
Oh, yes.
And so, and so, you know, the bullying that can happen, I mean, it happened at primary school.
Okay.
And it's not, you know, there's a little bit in secondary school, but,
right.
you know, it does follow them around. And
mm-hmm.
they have to develop strong character. I mean, you either conform
yes.
or you kind of teach them that, well, no, you are beautiful.
Wow.
You know, you don't need to worry about what anyone else is saying.
Yes. Do you think, because I noticed you did refer to this in an interview I saw with you on BBC regarding Lupita, you know, she's been voted most beautiful person in the world, and which is lovely. But do you sense that's a bit of a trend just because she's popular right now, she's riding high, or has that kind of blackness or that representation of beauty now become acceptable mainstream?
No, I think we've got to be realistic. I mean, Lupita Nyong'o is a beautiful woman.
She is.
And I'm talking about her inside as well as outside.
Yes.
Before she became famous in that 12 Years a Slave film, I mean,
yes.
she was involved in a series called Sugar, which was, you know, really groundbreaking for young people across
mm-hmm.
the continent.
Mm-hmm.
And it was teaching them about, you know, sexual health,
right.
relationship development. So she's been involved in projects directing and acting before that film came about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, for I don't know, the People magazine,
right.
you know, one of these organizations that annually publish a list.
Yes,
and,
they do.
And name somebody, the beautiful, most beautiful person in the world. We've got to take it with a pinch of salt. We've got to recognise the fact is there's this fetish kind of thing that happens.
And
I mean, it's difficult to say. Obviously, I'm not negating the fact that Lupita is a beautiful woman, but
indeed.
I think that we know it's not a fashionable thing, and how we look and how we are and our features are not something that go in fashion one year
That's true.
Out of fashion another. Because I've been there through Alec Weck, Grace Jones.
I mean,
all the times they've pushed all these images at us and saying that these are the women that are the ones that we see as beautiful,
right.
And then negating all the beautiful women that are across the Caribbean, across the Americas, across Europe. We have we're a billion people strong, so one woman can represent
precisely
the beauty of an entire nation of people. It's impossible.
Yeah, that's so true. But what about the lack of then self-love or maybe lack of self-acceptance within our own people? You know, we do tend to look at maybe people of a lighter shade even now as more beautiful. Yes, there are a few that stand out, as you say, and the Lupitas and Alex Wex, etc. But on the whole, we seem to have an idea of being beautiful that's more, okay, let's try and be more westernized. Is that a fair comment?
That is, and unfortunately, that is a legacy of Ma'afa. I'm talking about enslavement and colonialism, and it's still with us. And people sometimes think that get over it. This is something in the past.
It's not.
Mm. I mean, part of the beauty is film. Is the campaign. The film actually is a vehicle to support the campaign against skin bleaching. That's one of our campaigns.
Wow.
Because even to this day, I mean, you know, we found that there are parents that are skin bleaching their children.
Good grief.
People who are skin bleaching themselves.
Good grief.
And these are chemicals that are carcinogenic. So people are really causing themselves serious injury.
Good grief. But yet,
to aspire to this Western idea of what beauty is, it seems that they were prepared to take those risks.
Mm.
It's the same thing when people use chemical hair straighteners.
Yes.
I mean, there has been research saying that there's links to fibroids.
Yes.
And, and what happens is that because we've been told continuously that the only way to have beautiful hair is if it's straight, people sometimes think that it's okay to use those chemicals.
Yes.
I think it's unfair to place judgment on any woman or any person who decides to creatively express themselves.
Right.
But the issue that I do have is when we're using products that are dangerous and harmful, and actually when we're doing it in front of our children, so that our children grow up with a message that I am not enough, that I am simply not beautiful enough. That's when we have a problem.
Yeah, this is quite serious because, I mean, I'm speaking as a person that I remember sort of my 20s, I did straighten my hair. And I remember my hairdresser looking at my hair and saying, well, where have you seen hair like this, Patricia? And I thought, oh my gosh, I need to relax my hair straight away, you know. But some people, they don't do it for those reasons. They say it's easier to manage or it just gives them more choice. I mean, it's very difficult, as you say. We don't want to judge people that, as you say, they're expressing themselves creatively. However, as you say, there is a health issue with the hair straighteners.
Oh, yes. I mean, the film deals with the issue of manageability as well. I mean, that comes up quite a lot. I mean, there was a film by Chris Rock called Good Hair that deals with some of the issues about where some of the hair when people are using weaves are coming from. It's not anyone's place to sort of like say to someone how they're going to adorn themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the health issue is another matter.
Something else, isn't it?
And I think what we forget is that this is a beauty industry. It's a multi-billion industry.
Oh my
gosh. It makes money by convincing women that they should be insecure in their looks.
Yes.
It would be out of business if it told you, you know what, you actually look great the way you are. I mean, no hairdresser, you know what I mean? An honest hairdresser would tell you this.
Yeah.
They'll just say, like, we just need to do a little bit of maintenance and a little bit of But the money that's being made out of the beauty industry, it perpetuates it continuously to generate revenue for millions of people.
Yeah.
So this is what we've got to understand is going on. I mean, one of the things that I have loved, I mean, you know, while making this film and seeing some of the people involved in the process and around it, that there's this massive growing, I call it cottage industry, of people who are actually making their own beauty products.
Wow.
So they're making things that are less harmful, that are I know not everybody is into the natural look, and that's fine.
Okay.
There are other ways to do it.
Indeed.
At the same time, you know, we are capable of actually, you know, talking to our grandmas and finding some of their old methods.
That's
not the hot comb, not the hot comb, mind you. I remember that stench.
You remember those days?
When it was up to my sister. And for men, we had a drip lock. We don't need to go back there.
No,
we saw Eddie Murphy's Coming to America, and those days are finally over.
We don't want to go back there.
No, we don't. But we can holistically, start to really say, look, these chemicals that are making our hair fall out in our, when we become older, that are giving us cancer. We've got to stop that.
We've
got to make a decision.
Exactly. What do you say? Because I've got quite a few women that work in the city. They have corporate roles, and they do sport, weave, and extensions. One in particular says, if I didn't have this look, I know I would not be as accepted, which probably has some grounds of truth. I mean, an afro there isn't really going to work, is it?
Well, I think you've got to answer the when you say, well, not you, but when people say that, they've got to question the fact, accepted by who? Accepted by yourself? Because I think the danger is that if we can't look in the mirror when we wake up and accept the face that looks back at us, and therefore we're putting on some kind of mask to pretend that we're someone else, that's actually spiritually dishonest.
Yeah.
That's actually saying that, I don't want to go and face the world as me.
Yes.
So I'm going to put on this caricature.
Gosh.
If other people have a problem with the way we look, that's an issue they've got to deal with.
Right.
We have to be confident in the way we are. It doesn't mean that you can't be professional.
Mm-hmm.
You can't
mm-hmm.
be presentable.
Yes.
Because there are many, I found in my experience, especially when doing this film, that many people who have actually gone natural, their colleagues actually have more respect for them.
Really?
Because they're actually, it's like, oh, wow, I've never seen that, that before.
Yes.
Sometimes, depending on how powerful and how strong the statement is, you might get some, can I touch it comments. You know what I mean? But generally, if you're cane rowing or a couple of plaits, you know what I mean? People tend to just accept that that's your hair. I mean, it's not rocket science.
Well, maybe it's the fact that perhaps European people are more comfortable, because I have to admit, once I did notice a very marked difference. I was in a bookshop, and it's the bookshop that I go in very regularly, at least once a week. I'm a bit of a bookworm, and I remember the first time I had my hair in a straight weave, it was very straight, and the lady who served me had a completely different attitude, and I just couldn't figure what it was. I thought, oh my gosh, I just look more acceptable to you. I'm just more like you. That was the only thing different, but her attitude was so different, Toyin. Really, it was.
Well, I think it's important that we know that this is an issue in our community, and not even just our community, outside it, because there's also an issue that men actually will make comments about, preferring women, some with the weaves and some with natural.
There is
a divide.
True. Yes.
But the problem is, and it always comes back to that, if a man is saying to you that I prefer you when you have, a weave on you.
Right,
Then he's also saying to you, I don't like you.
That's the thing, isn't it?
You are naturally.
Yes.
And we kind of have to really double check ourselves about, if a woman said to me, I only like you when you're wearing Armani suits, I would look at her and think, so what happens when I'm wearing a pair of jeans?
Right, yes, good question.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And hair technology is just an adornment. And
it
I think if we use it as an adornment, it's fine. We've got a pink weave, a yellow weave, or we've got streaks of blue, and that's very creative. And I love that stuff.
Oh, great.
But it's only when we're saying, look, I'm so ashamed of my own natural hair.
Yes, that's totally
that I'm
different.
Pretending that this Indian hair
Brazilian
hair
is all mine.
It's all mine.
Yes.
Then that's when we come into that spiritual dishonesty.
We have
thing
a problem.
Again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So do you think then, because I spoke about this with my husband, because he really is quite against the weave thing. I do every now and again wear a weave, but he's not keen. He likes a natural look. But do you think, say, for example, it's men that tell us that we're beautiful, or is it society tells us what's marketable is what's beautiful?
I think it's a mixture of both.
Mm-hmm.
I think that men are programmed the same way as women are
into
Western ideals of beauty.
Right.
And so most brothers that I know, mm-hmm. Initially are programmed to accept European women as the ideal beauty. So a sister like yourself or my wife, they're not beautiful women. They're mothers and aunties and grannies. Okay. And, you know, they're not beautiful
women. It's
not
glamorous, is it?
No. And what happens, we have to sometimes, you know, we have to work to break that programming and accept that, hold on, that's complete utter nonsense.
Wow.
And sometimes what happens is that sisters, because of what's happening in relationships, you know, we sometimes can't find each other. We'll use that technology, and it does work.
Yeah,
the problem is, of course, it's sometimes attracting the wrong kind of man. It's attracting a man that is not looking for you, looking at your character, but they're attracted to how you physically appear.
Right.
And that's one of the biggest problems in society.
Yeah.
Now, on the wider issue,
it's
like there's a problem in the sense that, yes, you're right, you know, a corporate image of African people and people from our community is that if you wear in the weave, I mean, I my hair's bald, and it's just simply my hair. I'm at an age now, my hair just doesn't grow as much. There's a bald patch, and I want to have locks, but I would look kind of ridiculous with locks right now because it just won't grow.
It wouldn't go,
But what happens is that having my head bald, it makes me much more acceptable. And, you know, I'm a bit crazy. So, I mean, people are getting the wrong image. They're thinking this bald-headed guy has kind of like shaved off his power, his Samson, locks. No, I'm still the same Toyin.
Indeed.
You know what I mean? I'm just decided that for grooming purposes, this is what I prefer. This is how I look look presentable. And I don't really want to go around with a toupee. I've seen it on television.
You're not keen.
I'm not keen, and I'm not doing Grecian 2000, so I'm happy with the grey.
Yes, indeed. So you seem to be telling me then and telling our listeners that we really need to define for ourselves what is beauty.
Yes, and that's key. I think we underestimate the power that we have. I mean, I'm a big advocate for us writing our own books, making our own films, you know, telling our own stories, and putting our centre as we are in those films. There's one thing I loved about 12 Years a Slave. I mean, I did have issues with it, but I love the fact that the director, Steve McQueen, had the sense to cast Lupita Nyong'o. Wouldn't have happened. I mean, there was a comparable comedy film, Django Unchained by Tarantino.
Oh yes, I did see some of that. Yes,
it was a bit. It was a very disrespectful take. It was a Western kind of like a joke.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
And the sister that was in there, beautiful woman. Yes, she did have the long hair and conform to the stereotypes. I think she uttered like three words in the whole film.
Oh dear.
So she was just there as flesh.
Indeed.
She wasn't there as a person. You know, it was all about the men.
Yes, it
now,
was.
Now, obviously in 12 Years a Slave, because that's been directed by a brother, and he has some kind of level of sensitivity about the issues,
you
know, there was a big strong role for Sister Lupita,
and that
made all the difference. And I think that when we, I mean, Mallory Blackman's another author, she's a children's laureate, and when she writes her books, she, you know, the characters in there that come from our community have a proper voice.
They do.
You get me, blood, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not stereotyping. We can talk like that and still be intelligent. So we can shape.
We can.
And you know, we can shape, you know, how we look and how we perceive ourselves.
Yeah,
it's just it's difficult in a Western media, but it is possible.
It can be done. Well, listen, Toyin, it's great talking with you. I've got about 30 seconds left. Now, tell me, are there any more showings or screenings of Beauty Is? I'd love to see it.
Well, yes, there are. I mean, the screening details are normally always on the website, which is www.beautyis.org.uk. There's a screening coming on in September at NUB, and there's some outside London. There's one in Ipswich in October, another one in Bradford. We are looking to put some more events on in October, so there may not be many screenings in London in September, but definitely there will be some more showing.
Right, so I'll be looking out for that and telling my listeners. Well, Toyin, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a real delight talking to you today. Thank you
Likewise.
So much.
All right. Thank you for having me on the program.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye then.
Okay, bye.
See you.
You're listening to the Ask Patricia Show podcast.
Is that India? What happened to her hair?
Well, if I want to shave it close, so I want to rock locks that'll take a bit away from the soul that I got. Little girl with the pressing curl. Age 8, I got a Jerry curl. 13, and I got a relaxer. I was the source of so much laughter. 15, when it all broke off.
18 and I went all natural. February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do. Because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone, I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that, hey, I am not my hair, I am not this skin, I am not your expectations, no, no. Hey, I am not my hair,
I like it. I might do that.
I wouldn't go that far.
Good hair means curls and waves. No. Bad hair means you look like a slave.
No.
At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be.
Shut it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey.
If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey,
hey, I am not my hair.
Skin.
I am not your expectations, no.
Hey.
I am not my hair.
I am not the skin.
I am the soul that lives within.
Does the way I wear my hair make me a better person?
Oh, oh, oh.
Does the way I wear my hair make me a better friend?
Oh, oh, oh.
Does the way I wear my hair determine my integrity?
Yeah.
Cancer and chemotherapy took away her crown and glory. She promised that if she was to survive, she would enjoy every day of her life.
I am not my hair, classic there by India RE. And I've got on the phone with me now, supermodel, yes, first ever Miss Black Britain. It's Rachel Williams. Rachel, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
You sound like you're somewhere that's got lots of activity going on.
Oh, is it very noisy? I'm actually in a restaurant and they're playing the piano.
Oh, right. So I'm having a great time. Listen, yeah. My darling, we've asking the question, you know, what is beauty? I've just been speaking to filmmaker Toyin Abetu, who directed the film Beauty Is, and it raised a lot of issues, you know, as in, is it our hair? Is it our skin colour? Lots of people bleaching their skin, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Lots of us feeling unless we're sporting a weave, then we're not beautiful. Now, as a model of a darker shade, very similar to Lupita, who's been voted most beautiful by People magazine, what's been your experience?
The thing is, it's very there's been many experiences, many within the industry alone and outside as well. I never really have much of a, it's quite 50-50 in the industry, in a sense that some clients would love you because of your complexion and some clients would not want to work with you because of your complexion.
Right.
So it really goes either way and it just depends on the client.
Right.
Now, when I first started, I mostly got the clients who didn't like me because of my skin complexion.
Oh, dear.
But as I decided, as I grew, as my portfolio grew better and I worked with some amazing photographers and makeup artists, they were able to portray my look in different ways.
Really?
And then that was sort of like the growth for me, where everyone was able to see, well, if you're dark skin, in the makeup artist's view, they love working on darker skins because it really brings out different colours.
Oh, right.
And then in terms of photographers, they love working with darker skins in terms of the lighting, the effects and stuff that you can create with different images.
Amazing.
So as that started to grow with my portfolio, I got more and more jobs because of my skin complexion.
Right.
So it's like it does go either way.
Yes.
And it is a difficult one. It really is difficult. But I mean, if you're confident within yourself and you really stand for something, it just doesn't get you down. It really doesn't.
So you've got to be confident then.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially as a model, you have to be, because you're rejected like every day.
Oh gosh, okay.
And that's like very brutal. It's brutal rejection. It's not, they're not saying we don't like you because you're not a nice person. They're saying we don't like you because you're too fat because you're too skinny,
oh,
because
gosh.
You're too dark, because you're too light,
really?
Because your teeth look weird. Do you understand? It's like they're actually rejecting you on the way you look. And these things you cannot really change in the most natural way.
No.
So you have to be confident, otherwise you're not going to make it as a model.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I've got another lady here who got involved in the conversation through Facebook, a Rachel
yeah.
Harris. And she says, I model since a baby as a
yeah.
light-skinned woman. And she says, I've been favoured many times over darker shades of ladies.
Yeah.
Is that something that you've noticed? Is it easier for lighter-skinned women to get the jobs?
Well, it depends what the client wants. Most of the time, if they feel that they have a lighter-skinned black girl, they believe that she can represent the whole of the black race.
Is that right?
Whereas if they have a darker skin, they think she can't represent.
Really?
So they'll more so go with the lighter skin, because then she can represent mixed race, she can represent Asian, she can represent any coloured skin,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there's been some cases where I've gone for a class and it's between me and a mixed race girl and they'll choose her.
Right.
But only the sense that they saw that she can represent all of the black race, which is very ridiculous.
It is, isn't it?
You can't say one shade represents all. That is so ridiculous.
Exactly.
You can't do it. So, I mean, there's been times when I've actually been the token black girl. So they would have a show and there may be 19 Caucasian girls and I'd be the only black girl and I would be there to represent all the black women, and I will get the outfits as in they wouldn't really blend me in with the other girls. They would say, oh, because you're dark, you're going to wear the brightest outfit.
Oh my gosh.
And it does make sense to a point, but you don't need to highlight and make it seem as if I've got to be the odd one out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it should be that you're just a model and you're a beautiful model, so you can be with these other beautiful girls.
Precisely.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems as though they're just quite set in their ways.
I think they are. I mean, there are some cases where they are changing slightly. I know in the recent Balmain collection, they've got sort of Iman, Rihanna, Naomi Campbell representing. They're like fronting the whole campaign, and these women are darker shade looking women.
Okay.
You know, so they've got things like that going on, but then it doesn't really... I want it to get to a point where black girls or girls of colour can just be models. You don't have to be known as a black model.
That's true.
You know, you just want to be a model. You just want to do your job and do it well. You don't want to be highlighted each time.
Precisely.
You do anything that you're black or that you're coloured, so to speak.
Yes, because if that's the only reason you're there.
Because of your skin tone, then it makes you feel, it's like, you can feel privileged to be there because they've chosen you, but then it's like they've just chosen you because you're black.
Yes,
not because of who you are or because of the work you've done or your, you know, your agency or anything. It's just because you're black, so they could have chosen anyone.
Yes.
So it's like you feel privileged that you're the only black girl that got it, but then you shouldn't be made to feel that way.
Precisely. I mean, do you feel it's gotten any better over the years with people like Lupita and Alex Wex? I mean, has it got better or is it just
the
sort
thing
of...
It's like it's weird because it's like women like Lupita. There's thousands of them in only in a sense of the way that she looks, not in her act, the way she acts or anything like that.
Okay.
There's thousands of them out there, but it's like it keeps happening where certain women are just picked. They're just picked and then they're pushed and then they're marketed very well and then they become a superstar.
I'm with you.
And then it's like a lot of women are saying, oh. I like Lupita because she represents black, dark-skinned women. And it's like, well, she is a black, dark-skinned woman. She's not representing them, but she is a black, dark-skinned woman. And there's many others, but she's the only one that got through the loophole.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like they rain on the fact that she's... you know, like she's beautiful because she's got short hair or because she's not...
That,
and it's like it's kind of like a... As much as that, it's a good thing, but then the more and more we highlight the fact that there's only one, it makes people think that there's such a small hole to get through that they're not going to make it.
That's so,
whereas
so true.
Whereas if there was like a good 5 to 10 dark-skinned women...
It'll be different.
But it's like the industries and the media, they just like to have one.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it makes everybody else feel that they're not worthy of
it.
Oh,
my gosh. One at a time. That's all they let you through, one at a time,
Rachel. It's the truth.
So wrong. But listen, darling, my time with you is done, but it's great talking to you, and I'm wishing you so much success in all you
Thank
do, my
you.
Love. All
Thank
right, you take
you.
Care.
You too. Have a good show.
All right, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
You're listening to the Ask Patricia Show podcast.
See, I got the best man in the world. What more can you ask for, ladies? When he makes you feel like you're the prettiest.
Yeah, he wakes me up early in the morning with a smile and breakfast in bed. It's like a fairy tale beginning, a heart full of love and there's no wind. It's got me looking kind of crazy. It's too good to be true. Ain't no man ever made me ever feel like you do. And I love it every day, all day, 24/7. Hey, I love it. I feel like Cupid done shot me from heaven.
Tamar Braxton there, feeling like she's the prettiest girl in the world. Well, I've got the lovely Roslyn calling now in the show. She's got her on the telephone. Roslyn, thank you so much for your comments on Facebook. So what about, what is beauty? What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts with regards to the topic.
Yeah.
Years ago, I mean, I say years ago, yeah. And I have to say because when Alec Weck first hit the catwalk, we were in a different time.
So true.
And it felt quite strange because though that image was what was around my dining table,
right,
what was in my household.
Yes,
but I never saw it in the media, even on frontline, on receptions.
Wow.
So it was quite something to see Alec Weck hit the catwalk.
Yes, yes.
So yes, I do think that there are powers out there that decide and determine and even make us accept what is beautiful.
I think you're right. In fact, when I was discussing this topic with my husband this morning, he was saying, you know, the powers that be you mentioned is people that tell us, well, actually, it's what's marketable. It's what we can sell, which is why they're very loath to put on, you know, the front cover of the top magazines a woman of a darker shade, because they use the excuse or reason that it's not going to sell because it's not marketable. So it's not beautiful.
Exactly. I mean, there's a number of features.
Yeah.
Because when I was thinking about it,
yeah,
you know, they both have very pronounced features that were never acceptable.
Okay.
You know, very dark skin.
Yes.
And not only natural hair, but short natural hair.
Yes, that's true.
All of those features when I was growing up were certainly not seen as beautiful.
Not really.
No,
not at all.
So, you know, so today to see it on the front page and to have people engaging in a conversation,
yes,
many cultures saying and recognizing that that's beautiful is, I have to say, progress.
Yeah, I think it is as well. I mean, particularly for you, you're saying that, you know, that was what you saw around you every day, say at the breakfast table, the dinner table. Yeah. Do you think it made you accept yourself in a better way? Did you feel better about yourself, or did it have no effect on you, really?
I think it did have an effect when I was growing up.
Mm.
A negative effect.
All right.
I think, yes, absolutely, because I think, you know, you're growing up, obviously, within the household, yes. I'm loved and I'm accepted.
That's right.
But I'm not seeing my family on front pages.
Right.
And when we're having conversations with, you know, outside,
yes.
the things that are deemed to be beautiful is long hair, long flowing hair.
Always, yeah.
You know, exactly. Yeah. And I suppose, you know, even thinking about it, I was thinking maybe that's where this, the whole hair extensions and the perming and the bleaching has all come from.
I would think so.
Because it's been subliminal messaging that's been taught to us.
Yes. I mean, when I was speaking at the top of the show to filmmaker Toyin Abetu, and he was saying you've got mothers that are bleaching the skin of their children, and I think that's just awful.
It is.
Because that's your mother telling you, you're not beautiful, my child, and I have to put this on you to change your actual skin, which is who you are.
Yeah. I think it's a step in the right direction, obviously, that, you know, both these models don't have to wear extensions, and can glory in colour as well, because that's another thing.
Yes.
You know, we've been seeing them wear some really beautiful, bright, dramatic colours, which further bring out their darkness and further bring out, you know, their features, which, you know, is great. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah. So do you think, finally, before you go, that we can now begin to say, and really mean it, that my black is beautiful?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think, obviously, you know, it's a root thing. We have to believe it from our home, from birth, because the people who make decisions can change their minds. And, you know, next week it might be something else.
That's in favour.
So, you know, I think it has to really start in the home and regardless of the powers that be, we just strive and present ourselves as beautiful to
and
the
use
world.
Our own power, really, because there are billions of us.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, Russell, it's been great talking to you, so thanks for talking to me on today's
Thank
show.
You.
You have a good day. Thank you,
and
my
you
love.
You too.
All okay. right. Bye-bye.
Well, you're listening to the Ask Patricia Show podcast.
Yes, you are listening to the Ask Patricia Show podcast. And I'm loving all your comments. Very, very strong comments here on today's show.
Man in the world, what more can you ask for, ladies, when he makes you feel like you're the prettiest?
Yeah, he wakes me up early.
Thank you for your comments. I've got lots more comments to read out on Facebook, but let me just take my final call. Lovely Carol also commented on Facebook. Carol, thanks for getting involved in the conversation. So what view would you like to express when we ask, what is beauty?
Oh, well, I've got so many views on that. I mean, I personally,
yes.
I think everything is beautiful.
All right.
But my issue is I come from a Jamaican background. My parents are Jamaican.
Right.
And Jamaicans tend to tell it like it is.
Yes, they do.
if you're fat, they'll say that fat girl over there. If you're tall, they'll say that really long girl over there. Mm-hmm. Or whatever the situation is.
They've got a way with words.
They do have a way with words. I come from a family of nine.
Wow.
And they're all different shades of black, and I'm the fairest.
Oh, right.
So as a child, I really got it. I got it from my brothers and sisters.
Yes.
I got it from my parents in a way, not a derogatory way, but mm-hmm. just, you know, like, mm-hmm. I was a little red one, you know. Okay. So growing up, I've always found dark skin to be a lot more beautiful than fair skin.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
God.
It's normally the opposite. It's always either the fairer you are, the prettier you are, the
that's
blah,
true.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yes,
but
that's so true.
But I've always gone the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Especially with Lupita just being nominated as the world's most beautiful woman. Well,
yes.
I agree.
Yes, she's very beautiful.
So I've gone a bit off track now, haven't I? But,
well, basically, you were saying that being one of nine and being the fairest, you kind of prefer to be a darker shade almost.
Yeah, I did. Mm. I did, yeah. And even to this day, I'm wondering whether it's subconscious, whether it's, you know, comments that were made as a young child or whatever. But
yes.
To this day, I'm a sun worshipper. I love the sun bathe.
Yeah, okay.
And I think if I go on holiday and I don't come back a shade darker, there's something wrong.
You're not happy.
You know?
Oh, God.
I'm just not happy. I think, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. But
yes.
We always want what we don't have. If you've got straight hair, you want curly hair.
That's
if you've got
the
red
case.
Hair, you want blonde hair.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
blah. We're always striving for
yes.
that little bit more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think it's a shame that it's gone to an extent where plastic surgery is the norm.
Oh,
now.
Gosh, that's awful, isn't that?
Yeah.
It's
because,
not a
you
good
know,
thing.
If I want bigger boobs, I'll get my boobs done. If I want
yeah.
a bigger bum, I'll get my bum done. It's
yes.
like it's gone. You know,
yes.
you know, if we could just all be happy with what you've got
and accept ourselves
and work with what you've got,
yes,
yeah,
that would be good, because, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you might not like your teeth, but you've got a fabulous pair of legs, you know, work with your legs.
There's always something, know? There's always something,
exactly.
Yeah, Carol, listen, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us on the show. We're so out of time, but I really appreciate you joining us and sharing your comments. You have a great day,
and you too. Thank
all
you.
Right, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
That was a lovely Carol calling in from here in London. And thank you all for joining in with your comments on Facebook and Twitter and the emails. I didn't even have a chance to read out this wonderful email from a young lady called Sani who's in Saudi Arabia. So that's going to go on the blog. Now, you know what is the call to action, yeah? You always go to artspatricia2000.wordpress.com and join in the conversation there, because that's where it's raging. So you've been listening to the Arts Patricia Show, and I've been your host, and it's hello from Danielle Jarma, who's not with us today, but she has helped to produce the show. And we're here next week for more Arts Patricia, same time, same place. See you then.
You're so beautiful. it's the moment, but it's the way that you think that intrigues. And when your heart reaches out to the heavens,